Our Old Testament reading this evening will be found in Ezekiel chapter 35. If you would please turn with me there to Ezekiel chapter 35. We'll be reading verses 1 through 15. Ezekiel 35, chapters, verses 1 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say to it, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you a desolation and a waste. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall become a desolation. And you shall know that I am the Lord, because you cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of their final punishment. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you, because you did not hate bloodshed. Therefore, blood shall pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a waste and a desolation, and I will cut off from it all who come and go, and I will fill its mountains with the slain. On your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines, those slain with the sword shall fall. I will make you a perpetual desolation, and your cities shall not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you said, These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will take possession of them. Although the Lord was there, therefore as I live, declares the Lord God, I will deal with you according to the anger and envy that you showed because of your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all the revilings that you uttered against the mountains of Israel, saying, They are laid desolate, they are given us to devour. And you magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and multiplied your words against me. I heard it. Thus says the Lord God, While the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate. As you rejoiced over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so I will deal with you. And you shall be desolate, Mount Seir, and all Edom, all of it. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This text very vividly and provocatively illustrates for us what it would be like to stand before the Lord without an intercessor. It's a very poignant prophecy. The Lord will fill the mountain with the slain. It reminds us of what we read in Psalm 110, that the Lord will, I believe it's Psalm 110, that the Lord will fill the nations with corpses. And so in God's judgment against Mount Seir, we do see a sort of foreshadowing, what we would call His final judgment against all the nations when He returns to judge them. To hear the Almighty say, Behold, I am against you, as He says in here in verse 3, is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord, but that's precisely where all men will fall. All men will fall into the hands of the Lord. Not all men will be judged by the Lord in the same way, but all men will have to give an account for Him. Now some, very much like we see here in this prophecy, will be destroyed. The Lord says, because you sought to destroy my people, I will destroy you. And we know that there will be a great many in the world today who have sought to destroy God's people, who will likewise hear, maybe not these exact words, but will certainly hear something along those lines, that you've sought to destroy my people, and so you will be destroyed. It shows us that the Lord does not take lightly those who seek to do harm to His people. Now, of course, God has not changed from the time of this prophecy until today. So we know that His heart for His people is the same. And the severity of this judgment it should grab a hold of us. It should arrest us with its severity. The Lord is gracious and loving beyond anything we could ever imagine, but His grace and His mercy are only two of His attributes. God is also just. He's also wrathful. He will also execute vengeance against those who seek to destroy His anointed. But even in His severity, of course, the Lord acts with perfect equity, with perfect justice. Verse 11, if we read verse 11, it says, "Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will deal with you according to the anger and envy that you showed because of your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you." So we see even still that the Lord judges the people of Mount Seir according to their hatred. In other words, they sought to desolate and murder the Israelites, so God will lay them desolate. And He will destroy them, and He will destroy their lives. So even in His severity, there is still justice and equity. And of course, we know that He will also judge the nations according to their hatred of God's people. And in this great judgment, that is, when we think of the day of the Lord and how it is foreshadowed here in this judgment, all will know that the Lord lives. We see this sort of a refrain throughout verse 35. "And you shall know that I am the Lord." Okay. He's just as Israel's oppressors will know that Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the Lord over all. They will have the knowledge, or they will acquire the knowledge that Israel has, but they will acquire it in a very different way. You see, Israel knew God as their deliverer and their redeemer because they trusted in Him. They were His people. They knew Him not only for His justice, but for His love and His mercy and His compassion. Now, the enemies of Israel and the enemies of Christ's church will likewise know God as Lord, but again, for very different reasons. On that great day of judgment, just as the inhabitants of Mount Seir knew God for His destructive power, so those on the day of the Lord who have not bowed the knee to Christ will know Him as the Lord, as the one who has the power to take life. And of course, not only will they know God as Lord on that great day of judgment, they will confess Him as Lord. As the scripture says, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So as we read these prophecies of historical events that did in fact take place, we see God's preservation and His deliverance of His people. We see His love for His people, and we also see reflected in this His love of His church, His love for us. And we are warned, and we are comforted. We're warned knowing that there is the oppressors of Christ's church will not escape this life without judgment. That is a fear that, or a concern that we legitimately have, that is there no justice in this life? Do the oppressors of Christ's church just get away with it? Just a few weeks ago, Fidel Castro, if there was ever a tyrant, if there was ever an oppressor, died and presumably in power, and he didn't die a violent death. He didn't die like before a firing squad, like so many of the people that he killed. So it could be very easy for us to question God's judgment and His justice and say, well, you know, what about this man who oppressed thousands and thousands of people, murdered many, many people? Well, we know from this text that even the Castros, even the Bin Ladens, or whoever you want to pick, just the worst person you can think of, the oppressor who dies in their unbelief, we know from texts like these that God's justice will prevail, that those who oppress His church will be judged. We don't take joy in that by any means, but we do rest in the fact that God preserves His people. He does preserve His church. In response to the reading of God's Word, bow with me in prayer. Our great God and Father, we come before You as we read Your Holy Word. We see that while You are loving and kind beyond our imaginations, You are also wrathful. Father, You promised to fill Mount Seir with the bodies of its inhabitants. And that's a fearful word. Or even the psalmist says that in that great day of wrath that you will fill the nations with corpses. And we don't relish that thought. And we know that you don't either, because you do not delight in the destruction of the wicked. We praise you for your justice, for your equity, for your holiness. We praise you for protecting your people, for protecting your church. Father, we also praise you for the record that you have set down in your holy word, in which you have preserved for us, that we might read it and believe. We thank you for its revelation of your character as a covenant-keeping God, a God who is faithful through all the generations. Father, we thank you for all the truth that it contains. We thank you that you have revealed it to us and given us eyes to see and ears to hear. That you are in fact the Lord. And that we heard this message heralded to us, and that we received it before that great day of judgment, before we had to stand before your throne. So unlike those who perished on Mount Seir, who went before you without an intercessor, we know that we do have an intercessor in Christ. And so we have no fear of death, though we may fear the prospect. We have no fear of what comes after, because your word has told us what comes after we die to those who are in Christ. Now, Father, even though we do know these things and we confess them to be true, we are weak. And we confess before you now our sins, that we can be often dull of heart, maybe even lazy. We often lack discipline in reading your word and prayer and meditation, fasting, all of the things that you have laid down for us in your word. We have fallen short of them, even as we strive to keep them. Father, we ask that, because of your Son and his perfect righteousness, that you would forgive us of our sins and help us to wage war against our flesh, to wage war against the devil, and to wage war against the world, according to your word. Not a physical war, but the war, a spiritual war, using the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. We ask that you would, Father, forgive us of a pride whereby we tend to justify ourselves and seek to vindicate our own motives when we should not. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for any unbelief that may be lurking in our hearts due to political climates or situations in our work. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of those moments when we have our trust in you has wavered. Help us to be steadfast in the promises of your word. And we thank you again, knowing that if we come before you and we confess our sins, that you are just to forgive us. Father, we thank you for Christ, for all that he is for us, for his entire life of undiminished obedience for us. We thank you that you have gathered us together, that we might have fellowship, that we might enjoy one another in Christ. Father, we thank you for the preaching of your word, that you have, through the foolishness of preaching, ordained that some would come to possess eternal life through the belief in your gospel. We thank you also for this time of relative peace that we experience, as so many of our brothers and sisters all throughout the world do not experience the same peace that we do in the world. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray that we would not take it for granted, but that we would enjoy it, that we would use it wisely, that we would always be thankful to you. And we pray also for peace among the persecuted churches in the nations, that you would keep them safe. Father, help them if you have ordained that they be persecuted, that some even lose their life. We ask that you would preserve them, ensure that they are faithful to the end, as your word has promised us. Or may we never forget them in our prayers. Father, we ask now that you would grant us, not only us, but our nation, repentance. Father, we pray that many would come to know you as we reflect on the moral decay, not only of America, but of the entire world. We are confronted again and again with sexual immorality, with profaning the Lord's Day, with covetousness and breaking your law constantly. We ask that you would grant repentance. We ask that you would draw many to yourself and our nation, and we pray that as a result that we would see a change even in the laws of our land, as we are a country which sanctions the murder of the unborn, which sanctions the profaning of what you have made holy in marriage. We ask that you would grant us repentance, that you would we would see change in our country. Not that we have an idea of a Christian nation, but that we would just merely have a nation full of people who are calling upon your name. We pray that you would strengthen your church during this time to boldly and fearlessly proclaim your gospel, even as potentially consequences become more severe. We ask that you would raise up ministers and elders who would lead your church fearlessly and faithfully through many storms as they arise. We pray for our own government as we prepare to experience many changes and we don't yet know what lay ahead. We ask that you would grant us faith and trust in you, knowing that you are our covenant God and nothing takes you by surprise, and that you mean all things for our good. You will sanctify us through these events, whatever they may be. But help us now to trust in that, to trust in you. Father, we pray also that you would restrain the desires of wicked men. Lord, keep them from accomplishing all of their heart's intent. We ask that you would protect us from them. We pray also for the lost in our country, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our own families even. Father, many in here may know the pain of having an unbelieving husband or a wife or an unbelieving child or a brother or a parent. It's one of the most painful things that we experience in this life. And we ask that you would grant repentance to those in our families who do not know you, that we would be patient with them as you have been patient with us, that as a result, they would come to see you as Savior, Lord, High Priest, Intercessor. Father, we pray for the covenant children in our midst, that they would be provided for spiritually, that as a community, we would teach them to fear you. And we pray for the churches in our own communities who preach the true gospel. We pray that likewise that you would strengthen them. We pray for the lost and for the persecuted churches in our world. Lord, grant them faith. Grant them perseverance. And Father, finally we pray, as your Son has taught us to pray, that your name would be hallowed in all of the earth. Father, may your name be hallowed in our mouths. And may we never take your name in vain. Father, may your name be held in honor and reverence in our nation. We ask that you would make our consciences very, very sensitive to misuse of your name. We ask that even when we think about your name, or even when we think of Christ, that thought would be attended with thoughts of adoration and worship, lest we inadvertently take your name in vain. Father, we pray all these things and we ask you again for your help as we turn to your word in a few moments. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.